Session number 12678. Ernest Jones, reel 10.
Mr. Jones, reel 10. We're talking about the great fire at Salonika.
Yes.
Between August 18th and about 20th, I think.
Yes.
So the second day you spent on the hose pipes.
That's
you
right.
You sounds like you weren't having much success.
No, it wasn't a success at all. The place just burned to the ground. In fact, the third day, it was blazing for a fortnight. I mean, I was only there the first 3 days. And on the third day, I was put on patrol. You see, we had rifles and ammunition and that, and we were stopped looting.
Was there any looting? And if so, who was doing it?
Well, the blooming French troops. That's the only ones we found looting. Now, the ordinary Greeks didn't seem to bother. But the French troops, they were... Oh, good Lord, they'd do anything, go in and get a red wine out and roll it out in the barrel and fill their water bottles and they would run down the street like blood running down the gutters. And they were a darn nuisance. And we come to a bank. They were trying to get into a bank when our patrol... We see there was an officer with us, and I think there was 12 of us, you see, in that patrol, because they've got to be pretty strong to do anything. And anyhow, we come to the sheer place, and there was French trying to get into a bank. And our officer marched up, you know, and halted us there. And he went across to the French officer, and he could speak French, and wanted to know what they were doing. I didn't know what he was saying, but that was the gist of it. He was wanted to know what the trouble was and why they were doing that. And anyhow, he come back to us and he said, five rounds load. We put five rounds into our magazines, and he said, port arms. That was just, you know, like that. And he marched back to the French officer, and what he said to him was nothing. He told us after was that he told him, "You'll move these men from here and stop this looting, or I shall order my men to fire." And anyhow, that cleared them off. But that was what we found. And it was only the French soldiers.
No there. British looters.
Eh?
No British troops looting.
No, but we were all busy. The French troops were just... mooning round. They didn't seem organised.
And that bank incident wasn't isolated. There was a lot of it going on.
Yes. But, of course, you couldn't be everywhere. So, and then, of course, when it come to about 6 o'clock in the evening on the third day, well, we chaps had had enough. We were about exhausted. We hadn't had much sleep, and... we were about exhausted, so they packed us into a lorry and took us off back to camp.
Now,
and then we were relieved by another lot.
See. You were at the base camp at this time?
Yes.
That was after the convalescent camp?
That's right, yes.
So you were waiting, being drafted again?
I was waiting to go up the line.
To join your unit?
Yes.
Now, had you properly recovered? Because as far as I can see, you had malaria... dysentery,
yes,
and some trouble, but not the worst trouble.
No,
yet, but some
no.
trouble with your feet.
Yes, I had some trouble with my feet, but I could walk, you know, but although they weren't comfortable and they were rather painful at times.
Had this, well,
this was coming on gradually.
So, but at this stage, that wasn't why you were evacuated to hospital.
Not really, no.
That was a dysentery.
That was a thing that I could overcome, you know, especially in the excitement of the of being a blazing city and all that. Well, there wasn't time to stop to think much.
So what happened then? You went back.
And I got back to camp, and a couple of days after, I was on parade, and my name was called out for a draft for going up the line for back to my battalion. And that evening, I was there was about half a dozen of us KSLI men packed up and marched to Doodle on the train and up to Karasuli, then marched from there up to the battalion.
And how long had you been away from the battalion, about?
Oh, about 3 weeks.
So you'd gone in August as well. I mean, late July, you might have been formed then. And what's the next thing you remember then?
Well,
that was the summer of 1917.
The next thing was that, of course, and they were in the line when we got up there, and of course we had to go up, you see, and go into the trenches in the night we got there with the rest. And then, of course, I was on different things, patrols and outposts and one thing.
As we've already discussed.
And I went to the doctor and I complained about my feet. And
before we just go into the feet, one other thing. Did you write home a lot?
Hmm?
Did you write home a lot?
Oh, yes, yes. Although, you see, we didn't get, our mail was very sparse as we got. And whether they were sunk on the road, parcels and all. We were at a big disadvantage with them having to come by road, by ship, you see, all the way. And, there was no airfare travel then.
Who would you write to?
Oh, my mother. And a girlfriend.
That was the main two, was it?
Yes.
And who would they write back?
Regularly? I didn't write to anybody else. Oh, yes, they wrote back, yes.
How often?
My girlfriend wrote back and told me that she'd finished with me, that she'd found another chap.
How did you feel about that?
Oh, I was... That nearly killed me.
It upset you, then?
It upset me terribly.
When did that happen? About how long had it been before that happened?
Oh, I'd been in the road just over 12 months. And so I just wrote back and said, well, I'd like to keep on writing as a friend then if there was no... and so I did keep on writing as a friend.
Did she still write back?
Yes, occasionally.
But not
so much as before. Of course, the sequel to that was when I come home.
We'll pick that up then, and I'll make a... What about parcels? Did you get any parcels from home?
I only had one parcel all the while I was there from home. And then the mother had put some apples in and they were bad, and it was a bit of a mess. It had been smashed about a bit.
What else was...
The cake that she made was all smashed up, and it was a proper mess.
What else? So there's cake, apples, what else?
Well, a few sweets. And, I can't think of anything else. And so, I think there was a packet of biscuits. And, it was, I didn't expect too much from home because I knew they couldn't afford all that much. So, it was... And I told my mother not to send again because I said it was I couldn't eat the stuff when I got it, and it wasn't worth it. So that was it.
Were the letters from home very important to you? Well, except for...
Oh, yes. Of course, yes, they were. You looked forward to them very often as you got none, you know. There were the mails up, they'd say, and then that. And, the post corporal will be at such a point, you know. And he'll have the mail, and so we used to go and wait for him to call out the names and numbers, you know. And... If you, of course, and one half the time you got nothing. So, but you went back to Casey, there was something for you.
Did you keep a diary at all, or have a camera?
No, we weren't allowed. No, we weren't allowed to write anything down. Oh, no, we couldn't keep diaries.
Another thing we missed.
Strictly against the...
Did you have any... you mentioned malaria, but did you have any precautions against malaria? You said you had a quinine.
Yes, right.
Quinine. How was the quinine issued?
Oh, by the mouth. They got round and the officer brought it down round in the evening. We were lined up in the evening and the officer come round with the sergeant and the sergeant was telling you to bring your mug. Now, we had been issued with enamel mugs. That was a great thing, because we'd only got our flat tins before, and that was a big help, the enamel mug. And they'd put the quinine, he'd put a measure of quinine in, and he'd stop there while you drank it, because it was terrible stuff. It was wrong. It was just like thick, dirty black water. Oh dear, it was terrible stuff.
So you had that. What about things like mosquito nets or anything like that?
Now, when we were in the summer in the year, we had steel helmets, you see, and we had a khaki cover that came over the helmet, and then there was an apron at the back that came back over the back of your neck. And but the steel helmets used to get pretty hot even with the covers on, and then at night the mosquito net was pulled over the steel helmet and tucked into your tunic, you see, because you could see through it and hear through it. So, and also we were issued with shorts that. Turned up and buttoned each side so that when it and we had, you see, there I've got them on there, and that was how we were most of the day. Now and then those shorts, they'd say sleeves down, shorts down, then it was rolled up sleeves down, you know, and take your shirt and undo your putties. Put your shorts down and put your putties up against, protect you. You had bare knees for the mosquitoes, you see, and and that was at night. You see.
Did you? I mean, when you got there, you'd had this heavy uniform. Did you get a light? I mean, you'd got the serge. Did you ever get the khaki drill uniform?
Oh yes,
when did you get that?
Yes, after the winter.
So you had it from when you got there in August, you had it right through until the next summer.
That's
and
that's
then you
right.
did get khaki.
Yes, we did.
Was that better?
That was better then. We were all dished out then with the drill khaki and shorts and pith helmets and all that. But of course, I mean, your pith helmet wasn't used in the line. Your steel helmet always in the line. And also... during that summer, during 1917 summer, we were given an old sandbag and some string, and we had to fold this sandbag into a long strip and tie the string round the top like that, and the ends and round the bottom, and the top you'd bring round your neck, you see, to bring it up your neck and round the waist to keep it the waist, and that should come straight down your spine to keep the sun off your spine. Now I, as far as I can make out, and my son has researched it to the best, and he finds that we were the only unit in that, the only people in Macedonia that were issued with this, and the only previous occasion that it had been used was on the northwest frontier in India, and they revived it for us there because it was up to 110, 120.
So it was just a sort of homemade spine pad.
That's right, yes. So, and that, well, I don't know whether it did any, but of course we wore it, and that was it.
What about this body belt you mentioned? There was a body belt for keeping you warm at night.
What, oh, yes, that? We had a flannel. It was like a blue flannel thing that come and tied in the front. That was to stop the two different temperatures, see, on the stomach, and with the heat of the day and the cold at night, you see, it was to regulate more or less the stomach heat, and but it was terribly lousy. Oh, they used to get full of lice. It was, they I think they defeated their own object, really. They were, whether they were good or bad, I don't know, but they weren't comfortable. They were lice traps. And
so, any other events you remember from that before you would go on to? Because you went, your feet went into a final decline, so to speak. You know.
Well, they were getting
that winter, didn't they?
They were getting. You know, painful and all that, and I went to the doctor. I stopped and I went on sick parade, and I went into the doctor's dugout, you see, and when he came up, and he gave me light duty. Well, light duty, what they put me on then was guides. I was a guide for the outposts, because I'd done outposts, you see, and I knew the way through the wire and what ravines they went up. And then, of course, there was a corporal and about four chaps, you see, or half a dozen. Then there was the sergeant, that's right, the sergeant and half a dozen chaps. They were carrying their rations for the 24 hours, you see. Well, then I'd got to take them there and bring the others back, you see, because I knew I'd done it myself, and I knew the route, see. And so they kept me on that for a time, and they got worse.
This is where your shoes were falling apart as well. Remember, you told me the story last time, but we erased it. That's when your shoes were falling apart and you,
yes,
had the Wellingtons.
Yes. Now, here, I'll show you the difference. You can see the difference for yourself. Here, now, in these photos.
It's the same pair of boots in,
yes,
two photographs.
Yes.
And the second pair, well, the same pair, they've fallen apart.
That's right, yes. That's how they were.
And that's from the winter of 19.
Yes, that's what I was wearing. Terrible things. All those in the bottoms and.
Couldn't you get some new boots?
Well, I went to the quartermaster and he said I can't get rations. He couldn't. We were chance.
So
apart from rations. It was clothing, everything. We were the forgotten army, that's what we were.
So what did he give you? Because I believe he gave you some, instead of boots, he gave you Wellingtons.
Aye, and I put them on and they were two or three sizes too big. And when I went out in the mud, I kept leaving them behind in the mud. So I went back and got me old boots back again. And I carried on with them. And that's how I, how my feet were getting worse all the time.
Did your feet swell up? What did they look like?
Well, they started going blue, you know, and swelling up and generally uncomfortable altogether. And anyhow, I'd been on these doing this light duty for a time, and I felt I couldn't carry on. I couldn't carry on with war. I couldn't walk after. So I went sick again.
And now, when were you wounded as well? Because it was around this time you were slightly wounded, weren't you?
Yes, that was just in between, you see. And, of course, then I was in snow and all that. And that
what happened with the wound?
That was doing no good. They were dressed when I got to stretcher bearers, you see. And nothing else was done until I got to hospital, practically.
Could you tell me how you were wounded? Because we haven't recorded that.
Well, it was shrapnel shells. You see,
what were you doing now?
We were on patrol. And we were lying down and fired on by the Bulgarian patrol. Anyhow, they knew we were there and they sent out some... And we were on practically level ground. And they sent some shrapnel shells and they peppered my legs. And...
Whereabouts in the leg were you hit?
All around the back here.
The back of the left calf?
That's right, yes.
And your right calf as well. Were they actual shrapnel bullets or just bits of shrapnel?
Bits of metal, you know. And they didn't do anything to the bone. They were flesh wounds, all, you know. And... When I got back...
How did you get back to the line?
Oh, got back gradually, hobbling and one thing or another.
You could still walk then?
Oh, I'd got to get back somehow. I couldn't stop there. It's surprising what you can do when you got to.
And this was at the same time as your feet were going bad?
Oh, yes, they were going bad, all right, yes. And it was getting near the time when I had to go sick.
The second time.
That's right, I had to go sick and have the light duty, and I was doing the guides.
So that happened after you were wounded?
That's right, yes. And then I went to the doctor, and the doctor came and he said, I think I'll have to send you back down to hospital. And so that night... they come up with a couple of mules with a chair each side the mule, and I was put on the one chair, another chap put on the other chair, and we were taken down. Then we were had to go through walks, part of the, as we were in, I don't know, we must have been on some very high ground, because when we were coming back with the mule, we were on like a cliff of the sheer drop into the ravine at the side. And I remember we come back, and in the one of the ravines was a battery of 18 pounders, and they started to fire just as we got to them. And of course we had a Greek that was leading the mule, see, and they were the Greek muleteers, as they called them. They were recruited by the British Army from the Greek Army. And this mule started dancing about me. What wound up me? And, you know, he quietened them down a bit, and we got on our way, and then I got to the field ambulance.
You don't know which one it was, do you?
No, I didn't know. I got... And I was there the day.
Well, did they do anything for your feet or your legs while you were...
No, they didn't do anything at all. No, I just... And then, of course, at night, then they brought ambulance up with a stretcher up with two great big wheels, one each side, and drawn by a mule. And I was laid on the stretcher between the wheel tree, and then I was taken down to the casualty clearing station. And that's like during the night. Then, of course, I'd got to stop the day at the casualty clearing station, because we were under cover, we were under observation all the time. And that was the time when we were laid on the stretchers in a marquee, and a nurse went by, or one of the army sisters or that, and chaps got off their off their stretchers with their hands and knees, went up to see her, because some of them hadn't seen a woman for about 18 months or so. It was a big laugh, but you can quite understand it. They wanted to see a woman. Just to see him with something. See one with something. And then the next night I was taken out and went to Kalasuli Railhead. And then I was there till 3 o'clock in the morning when the train come up, and I was put onto a stretcher on into a truck, well, a covered wagon like, and then we started off, and I arrived, it was daylight when I arrived down, you see, at Doodlaw station. And then there was a field. There was a motor ambulance waiting for me there, and I was taken to the 28th General Hospital, and they were a bit better equipped then. They were in a bit better condition than I
were
did.
Were you given
before.
Any treatment there?
Hmm?
Were you given any treatment yet?
Yes, I was, and I'd got a balaclava helmet on, you see, and I'd had a boil on my neck that had burst, and of course it was stuck on, and I'd had this on all the time, and when I got down to 28th General, they had to cut it off, see, and then I got treatment with my neck and the feet. And
what did they do for your feet?
But they didn't do anything to my feet at all.
What about your leg wounds?
Yes, the leg wounds, they straightened them up and bandaged them up and that. And my feet, I was put into bed and with clothes down to about there. My feet not open to the air. Because, I mean, no heat could be done put to my feet at all, because that would do the damage. You see, there was practically no circulation, and
did they hurt?
Hmm?
Did they hurt you?
Not much, no. No.
Were they numb?
I couldn't walk on them.
How did they feel?
Well, there was more or less a numb feeling, and you see, a lot of chaps got it worse than me, and they had gangrene, and some died, and some had to have their feet, their feet off. See, and then, so I was one of the lucky ones again. See, because they seemed to catch mine in time, without I did it myself, like with the reporting it, or anything of that. But of course, you know. You didn't go sick unless you'd absolutely got to do there, because all you got was a number 9 medicine and duty. That's all you got, and you'd got to be pretty bad if you got anything different. They had no mercy on you at all.
Now, talking of that, I believe that they actually interrogated you as to, because it was a crime at that time to
yes.
get frostbite.
Well, I was in hospital in the 28th General. An officer came to me from the general staff, and he said, I believe, he said, that you are suffering from frostbite. So he said, I have one or two questions to answer, that I must, you must answer. He said, I must tell you this, that to have frostbite is a crime. And if it is found that you had done it on your own, you know, you were the instigator of it and that, well, you were liable to penalties. And you know, gently put the wind up here a bit. And so he said, now then, you had boots. Yes, I said, yes. Yes, look at them. I'd got them there. I said, look at them. And he said, have you been wearing these? I said, that's what I've had to wear. So he says, oh, they're bad. He says, and by the way, did you have clean socks every day? Oh, dear, fancy asking me that question like that. I said, that was impossible. I said, my socks were absolutely sodden with whale oil. I said, I put whale on religiously, I said, and my socks were absolutely sodden with whale oil, I said, because I did put it on. And so he said,